An older single gentleman told me recently that he went out with a young lady. He himself is a clean-shaven fellow. And the young lady told him that she cannot go out with him again. When he asked her why, she said, well, for the simple reason that he did not have a beard. Obviously, he didn't really understand what exactly was wrong. I mean, if that would be the one criterion that would make or break the future of their relationship, clearly this required probing. So he didn't understand. And she explained to him that she was told by one of her rabbis that everyone is required to have a beard. The beard is a sign of religiosity. Why? He asked. And she explained, with complete sound of mind, that a beard points downwards. The beard points towards the heart, and therefore it clearly represents the connection of one's head to one's heart, which hopefully are one and the same. Well, my initial reaction was that perhaps this is why this young lady cannot grow a beard, clearly demonstrating that perhaps she does not have a head, that she does not understand what exactly defines sincerity and what ultimately connects a person's mind to his heart is clearly not going to happen through the growth of a beard. Recently, however, yesterday as a matter of fact, I was sitting with my Talmidim, with my students in the Yeshivat Hesder of Kiryat Gat, and we were engaged in a superficial conversation. And I say that because some of the students said to me, Harav, they said, Rabbi, why don't you have a beard? So I said, well, why do I need a beard? Well, they said to me, well, clearly all rabbis have to have beards. They said, why don't you grow one? So I explained to them, the reason is very simple. I said, because I want everyone to be able to enjoy my beautiful appearance. If I grow a beard, I'll be obstructing everyone's ability to enjoy witnessing my wonderful countenance. Now, of course, I was joking, sort of. But clearly, I go on to explain to my students that it is not the beard that maketh the man, but rather the man that maketh the beard. It is not the hat on our head that establishes our intelligence or our sincerity and religiosity, but rather it's the head under the hat that ultimately will be judged by Hashem and ultimately is answerable from man to God. After all, I explained to them, there are many Rabbonim who have beards, but they themselves do not necessarily warrant the title of being called a Rav. The Torah expects from us a certain amount of depth. The Torah requires from us to see beyond what appears to be superficial, to appreciate true intrinsic value. Last week I discussed the message of the Mishkan. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. The commandment of requiring construction of a mikdash, of a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kevyachol could rest his Shekhinah, was present way before the Chet HaEgel. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have a means, a way of establishing a kesher, a connection to Hashem. And that was the purpose of the Mishkan, to elevate our spirituality, not to place HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a box. This week's message is rather the same as last week's, as it translates not only through the Mishkan, the dwelling place of the Shekhinah, but as it translates through the message of the Bigdei Kehuna, the clothing adorned by the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim themselves. The Torah in Perek Chavchet Pasuk Bet says, Ve'asita bigdei kodesh le'aharon achicha Lechavod uletif aret. Clothing are to be made and to be sanctified. Holy clothing. For what? For the sake of kavod vetiferet. For the sake of reverence and glory. What exactly does this mean? And how exactly does one go about making these clothing for this particular purpose? The Ramban is a very strange Ramban, but interestingly enough, he reveals a tremendous insight. The Ramban, in fact, in this week's Parsha, Parsha Tetzaveh, actually quotes quite appropriately, at least for this year, from Megillat Esther. Ktiv, Umordechai yatza milifnei amelech bilevush malchut. Mordechai, after the destruction, the downfall of Haman's entire plot, after his plot to destroy Bnei Yisrael is thwarted, Mordechai is rewarded as an assistant to Melech Achashverosh. And he wears bilvush malchut. He adorns this kingly clothing. Tchelet vechur ve'ateret zahav gdola v'tachrich butz ve'argeman. He wears the colors of a king. Purple, blue, with sharpness, adorned by gold. V'tachrich butz ve'argeman, says the Ramban. What is this tachrich? V'hatachrich hu ha-me'il shi'atef bo. A tachrich is a cloak with which he could surround or with which he could wrap himself in. What is the purpose of these clothing? Says the Ramban, we can compare the actions of Mordechai acting as the main advisor to Melech Achashverosh to the Kohen Lahavdil to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How the Kohen serves Hashem. V'adecha amet, says the Ramban, hod lechavod uletiferet, yomar shi'asu bigdei kodesh l'aharon, l'sharet bahem, lechavod Hashem, hashochein betocham uletiferet uzam. Aaron is told and instructed to wear the sanctified clothing in order to serve Hashem respectfully, with dignity. Why? Hashem ha-shochein betocham u-letiferet uzam. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyochol who dwells within them or within us with glory. Kidichtiv kitiferet uzamo ata. Continues the Ramban, Va'od ne'amar oz v'tiferet mikdasho. Great is the glory and the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in sanctity. V'chein lefa'er makom mikdashi u'makom ragli achabed, shi'e makom ha-mikdash mefu'ar b'tiferet. The place of the mikdash has to be established in glory. U'makom raglav shu makom beit ha-mikdash mechubad b'chvod Hashem. The place where the Kohanim walk, where his legs trample, the place of the Mikdash should be a place of respect, out of respect to Hashem. V'chein u'b'Yisrael yitpa'er. And that is why Bnei Yisrael are instructed to glorify the place of the Mikdash. Shi'yemareh u'miyached b'hem tifarto. The place of the Mikdash, the Bigdei Kiuna, are the means of how we demonstrate reverence, greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. Gam bigdei abonim kulam lechavod u'letiferet. Says the Ramban, so too with the clothing of the Kohanim, they are also for the sake of this glorifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. V'yitachein shiyu tzrichim kavana. Not only that, says the Ramban, in all probability, every action that went into sewing and putting together the clothing of the Kohanim required the proper kavana, required a pure intent. Da, says the Ramban, no. She'abigadim ayu tzrichim asiyah lishma. That the establishment, the process of making the garments required intent, a positive intent. Ki adavar amiti shebigdei kiuna lo haya bem tfira achat shelo haya ramuz ba tilei tilim shel alachot vesodot muflaim. Listen carefully to what the Ramban says, Rabotai. There was not one stitch in sewing the clothing together of the Kohanim that was not or did not contain within it a hidden secret of divinity, of halakha, of Jewish law, v'sodot muflaim, wondrous secrets, hamechusim b'sitrei Torah, that are clearly not revealed to us, that are way beyond our comprehension. There is an intrinsic sanctity, an intrinsic dignity within every stitch of cloth that would ultimately form the garments of the Kohanim. Lachein hayu tzrichim kavana gdola. Therefore, says the Ramban, for that reason, every single stitch which would eventually tailor the garments of the Kohanim required proper kavona, required the proper intention. V'lachein amar, ve'ata tedaber el kol chachmai lev asher mileitiv ruach chachma. That is why, with regards to instructions of the Mikdash, and with regards to destruction of the Klei HaMikdash, the utensils, and with regards to the Bigdei Kihuna, the garments of the Kohanim, Moshe Rabbeinu was specifically instructed to speak and to ask those artisans who can work on these particular materials, only people who are Chachmei Lev, Asher mileitiv ruach chachma. Wise people who are filled, who are instilled with the wisdom of what sanctity, of what soul, of what greatness of spirituality has to offer. Only those people who are spiritual are worthy of stitching these clothing together. And I thought to myself, what exactly is the message that the Ramban wants us to understand and appreciate in discussing at such length every fine detail of the Bigdei Kihuna? And perhaps the message the Ramban wants us to understand is that even a stitch of cloth, when it's done properly, can be done for greater purpose. There is a brilliant concept that the Ramban wants us to understand is fundamental to our religious progression. And that is, that it is not for the clothing's sake that we adorn the Kohanim with these garments, but rather the clothing are meant to focus our intentions towards sincere altruism. The clothing, even how we construct them, even how we sew them and tailor them, the garments that we would fit the Kohanim with, something which would appear to be so basic, so mundane, such an irrelevant part of the service in the Mikdash, no. Even a stitch of cloth can be sanctified in this world and elevated towards higher purpose. That is ultimately the foundation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol expects of a Jew in this world. To take that which appears mundane, that which appears foundational, and to elevate that fact to the spiritual, towards greatness, to the soul of the matter. I heard a story this week about a great Rav who will obviously go unnamed. And a Rav was very excited telling the story about this Rav. And he said two things. He said one is that this Rav is so outstanding. He wears glasses and he asks for two prescriptions lower than what his numbers require in order for him to see. Why? So that when he walks around, he should not see improper things. So his glasses are faded, or his vision is blurred, so as he should not look at improper sights. And I thought to myself, the first thing that I thought to myself when I heard this story was, well, how exactly does he learn Torah? So obviously you'll tell me, well, if he holds the Sefer close enough that he clearly can see, maybe he has another set of glasses. But I was very disturbed when I heard this story. And then he went on to bring a proof of how wonderful the fact is that this rabbi's glasses are not the right prescription, intentionally. And he said that the rabbi would go on the bus, the public bus, and he purposely would not look straight, because God forbid if a woman walked on the bus, he should not look in the wrong direction. And sure enough, he was looking away, sitting in the corner of the bus, and a woman, Nebuch, came in and actually sat down next to him. Something which is unfathomable. Turns out that the rabbi was so immersed in prayer that he should protect himself from wrong influence and from wrong intentions, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him. Why, said this rabbi? Because when the rabbi got up to leave the bus, he realized that the woman who was sitting next to him was his wife. Well, I thought to myself, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really being so good to this rabbi, maybe the rabbi, if he's so holy, would have had the opportunity to turn to his wife and enjoy the bus ride by schmoozing with her. If the rabbi is so busy, so immersed in prayer, limud Torah, saving Am Yisrael, well, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending this woman, who happens to be his wife, to sit next to him on the bus, so that he could pay attention to her, so that he'd have a chance to engage in conversation with her. These stories trouble me. And while there are many people who say we like these stories, and they're wonderful, the portraits that they portray of the great Rabbonim, I say to myself, the greatness of Rabbonim is not their beards, but what is under them. The greatness of Rabbonim is not the fact that they separate themselves from this world, that they are completely out of tune from this world, just the opposite. The greatness of Rabbonim, of outstanding Tamidei Chachamim, as demonstrated by the Kohanim, is the fact that they can take a stitch of cloth, that which is physical, that which appears mundane, the actions that would appear to us to be a normal part of being in society, and completely turn them into something more meaningful, something more spiritual, something greater. The greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the opportunity that He gives the Kohanim, as demonstrated from the Kohanim to Klal Yisrael, is that we are expected to take the basic raw materials in this world that God gives us, including human and social relationships, and to elevate them for more meaning, for deeper intrinsic understanding, and ultimately to be able to elevate them for great spirituality in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what the Torah has to offer us. And this, my friends, is really the message of Purim. Purim is a chag, a holiday in which we are instructed to indulge in the physical world, something which Jews are not used to. And yet what we have to realize is indulging in the physical world is not the means to an end. It is not the physicalities or the materialism that we are after. But rather on Purim, we use the physical world, the stitch of cloth, to arrive at greater sanctity. The Mishloach Manot Ish L'Reyeyu, that food that we provide each other, is used for none other than the Seudat Purim, a Seudat Mitzvah. We eat the food for a sake of a commandment. Matanot Le'Evyonim, the money which normally can dictate a materialistic life, we take that money and we give it for the sake of tzedakah. Again, we elevate the finances, we elevate it to a greater level of spirituality, the mitzvah of tzedakah la'aniyim. Even wine, which we drink and imbibe ourselves in, chayav inesh levesume bipuraya, is for the sake of exposing ourselves. Nichnas yayin yotza sod. The yayin, the wine, reveals our inners. Why? Either by the fact that it reveals the Torah inside of us. Hopefully we espouse words of Torah based on the more wine that we drink. And if not, then the wine serves as a reminder that perhaps your internals are not so in shape, that perhaps we have to reshape ourselves, redirect our positions, and aspire for more greatness. The concept that the Torah wants us to embrace, both through Parsha Tetzaveh and Bidei Keuna, and with the arrival of the great Yom Tov of Purim, Ki Tiferet Uzamo Ata, the Tifara, the glory of God, is not only in the Aron Kodesh, but it's inside every single one of us, in every walk of life that we take, in every physical activity that we demonstrate. And if we're zoche to understand and appreciate this concept, then in Mirtz Hashem, all of us will be able on this great Shabbat of Tetzaveh, as we usher in the Yom Tov of Purim, to embrace the true meaning of Lechavod Uletiferet. Shabbat Shalom. Purim Sameach.